We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go. Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Happy New Year. First show of 2018. We're doing things a little different today because it is New Year's Day and we've had an extremely busy weekend. Andrew has been up in Vermont skiing. I just got back from Boston with my family and have been completely in flux. So we couldn't coordinate a time to record the show over the weekend. So what we're going to do is today you're going to get an episode of the flashbacks. Again, we got two more interviews for you guys. If you missed them last time or if you just want to listen again, we got Justice Sheffield and Chance Adams, two guys we caught up with last year and talked about basically coming up through the system and you know, future prospects of what's going to happen with these guys. You know what they are. Obviously, Justice Sheffield and Chance Adams are the two top pitching prospects in the Yankee system right now. They're the guys that everybody's waiting to see come up the wings. They're the reason why everybody's kind of scratching their head about this this Gerrit Cole trade, because these two guys are coming up and seem like they're ready to go. Justice Sheffield last year was in Double A, had a good season, was hurt a little bit, had some time off, but then went to Arizona for the Arizona Fall League and had a very good showing in the Arizona Fall League. He definitely improved his numbers. He's been floating around a 3 ERA for Double A and then in Arizona as well. And the dude's up around nine strikeouts per nine, and definitely got his walks down over in the Arizona Fall League. So hopefully that's a good trend we're going to see from him. But he's, you know, one of the guys that came over in that deal for Andrew Miller. So the irony of flipping Clint Frazier, who also was a guy from that trade, to get Gerrit Cole, when in reality we have a couple guys from that trade already in the minor leagues look like they're ready to take the next step. But Justice Sheffield, we caught him on the bus in Double A. He had a 5-hour bus ride, which was funny. Just listening to him, it seemed like he was dreading that bus ride. So we got him for about half an hour. Hopefully helped him out, kill that time. And then we got Chance Adams after a game, actually, last year. And Chance Adams, obviously the number one pitching prospect in the Yankee system, moved up to AAA last year, had a really good showing, a sub-3 ERA. Does look like he's ready to take that next step. I know he's developing another pitch. Seems like that changeup is starting to come around for him. You know, people I think, forget that he was drafted in 2015 as a reliever, pitched in the low levels 2015 with the Yankees as a reliever, and then flipped in 2016 as his first full year as a starter. So 16 and 17 were actually his first two years as a starter, and the Yankees have been kind of tearing up the innings. I think he had about 127 in 16, and then last year he was up around 150 and had a really good showing in AAA. So look, it was a lot of fun to talk to these guys. Obviously, we'd like to hear the backgrounds and who they are as people. You can tell that Chance Adams has ice going through his veins. He does not care what is around him or any of his the external factors and what he does in his career. He's just going to go and he's going to pitch, whether it's AAA, the majors, the bullpen, the starting rotation. You know, he don't care. He's just going to go out there and compete. So I like that. I'm excited to see these guys. I'm hoping they do get an opportunity in the near future with the Yankees. We all know that starting pitching is one that you need depth, and usually you're getting about 7 or 8 guys up in the majors during a year pitching. It's not just that 5-man rotation. So I expect to see at least Chance Adams, and we'll see if Justice Sheffield can get on the fast track and have some early success in AAA. You never know. An injury or two may push him up into the major leagues as well. So without further ado, let's get into these a little bit, actually a little bit more on what we're going to be doing today. Is Andrew and I are actually going to jump back on tonight. So he'll be back in New York this evening. I'm settled in. So what we're going to do is we're going to do our normal Monday show. We're going to actually record it this evening, Monday, between the two college football games. So if you're out hanging out, watching football, I think the first game starts at 5, the second game starts at 8:45. So after the first game concludes, we're going to jump on Facebook Live and record our regular episode that will then be published either immediately after that or early Monday or early Tuesday morning for your commute. So you'll still get that normal show we're doing. We just got to push it off a little bit later in the day. That's it. So you got any questions, just hit us up. You know, hit us up in the mailbag if you have any questions for the next show. Hit us on Twitter. At Scott Reinen, at Andrew_Rotondi, and then at Yankees Podcast, or if you want to talk to us on Bronx Pinstripes, it's at Bronx Pinstripes. Happy New Year, guys. I hope everybody is ready for a massive 2018. This is probably the one year that I'm most excited for in a long time. I'm very excited for 2018 for everything. Personal, Yankees, the businesses that I got going on. Like, it's going to be a good year. I'm pumped up. I hope everybody else is. I hope everybody's gearing up for some doing some big things in 2018. I know the show is going to take off even further. We're going to be doing more things with Bronx Pinstripes and the BP crew. I'm very pumped up for that. So keep an eye out, man. Let's go. Big time for 2018. Here's your interviews with, first one is going to be Justice Sheffield. Second is Chance Adams. Happy New Year, guys. Enjoy.
Okay, we now welcome on Justice Sheffield, pitcher for the Yankees. Justice, thanks for joining the podcast. I hear you are on the bus right now. You guys are traveling somewhere?
Yeah, we're traveling to Erie right now. Got about 5 hours left, so in for the long haul.
That's different, taking the bus. That's a five-hour trip. That's a long trip. What are you guys doing to keep busy for 5 hours?
Usually just chilling, hanging out. I know a lot of guys just, you know, try and sleep through it and whatnot, or, you know, just listen to some music. So
nice.
You looking forward to those plane rides so you don't have to sit your ass on a bus?
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it, man. I've been on the bus for what, three years now. So, you know, I think I'm already up to the point where I don't have to share with anyone. So, you know, got that one out of the way. Now we just got to move on to getting up in the air.
Oh, yeah, you're at the status where you get your own row of seats, right? You get to lay out.
Yeah.
What do you have to do to get to that status?
My first full year, I had to buy my seat. You know, I was bunked up with Bobby Bradley, and, you know, he ain't no small dude. So I definitely was trying to buy my seat and had to. Ended up getting that. But then, you know, now on long trips, I guess in AA, we take two buses, so, you know, enough seats for everyone.
The buses, what's the bus situation compared from the Cleveland organization to the Yankees organization? Are we stepping up in buses at least?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got outlets. That's the number one key. Ooh, as long as we got outlets, I'm happy. Outlets at my own row. I'm good.
How about Wi-Fi? Is there a Wi-Fi connection on that thing?
There's Wi-Fi, but, you know, it goes in and out all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, I usually don't get on Wi-Fi, which in the long run kills me because I always get text messages from my moms complaining about the data usage and stuff. But, you know.
Well, tell her you can pay her back once you make it to the big leagues.
Yeah. She understands. I tell her it's a grind on the bus, man. I cannot be using my phone, especially on these long trips.
Yeah. You download any movies or any TV shows or anything like that?
No, I'm not a big, like, movie watcher on the bus. I listen to some music. I'll sleep a little bit, but most of the time I'll just FaceTime. I like to FaceTime a lot with you know, a lot of other people, and or just chill with the teammates, try and pass time that way.
What's on the playlist?
Kodak just came out with a new album, so, you know, I've been on Kodak. Drake, you know, he just dropped his new album not too long ago. I listen to a lot of hip hop, but I mean, it varies depending on my mood. You know, sometimes if I'm in the weight room or anything, I'll listen to hip hop and stuff like that. And then I got a little R&B joints. So I mean, it varies.
So we know about when batters have their walk up music going up to the plate. Do you guys pick the music when you're warming up in between innings, or when you're first coming out for the first inning? Does that ever happen, or you guys just completely get left out of that?
I have. Yeah? We have before, but I think Trenton uses the Thunder song. I think it's by AC/DC. Which is warming up, but, you know, this year I asked them if they could, you know, play a little bit of our music, so maybe we can get that in there, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, AC/DC isn't exactly hip hop.
It's kind of hard to get in, it's for myself, to get into the zone and listen to AC/DC, but, you know, I guess it's, you know, I'll try and talk to them and see what they have to say, see if they can't change it a little bit.
So you're starting the season in Double A, but the weather in the Northeast kind of put a delay on your season. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, we're heading up to Erie right now, so we'll see. They said it's supposed to snow, but yeah, I'm not really looking forward to that. I'm a person who likes to be in the heat. I don't like the cold too much, but you know, I guess it makes it better. Hitters don't want to be out there as much as we do. So I mean, I guess the pitchers have the advantage in the cold.
You're not scheduled to pitch in the snow, are you?
Actually, my game is scheduled on Friday, and they said that it is supposed to snow on Friday. So I don't know what that's about, but I'm going to have to work through it, I guess.
Have you heard about Major League Baseball trying to – I think they hired Rawlings or somebody, one of the ball manufacturers, to make a tackier ball. Have you heard about this?
Really? Yeah. I haven't heard of it.
I guess what they're trying to do is they're trying to get rid of the illegal substances in the game. Because usually, you know, when it's a cold weather, then, you know, pine tar or whatever, just to get a better grip on the ball, that's mm-hmm. been used in the past. But I guess what they're trying to do is use a tackier ball so that it's not an issue. Because, I mean, even in cold weather, the pitchers, I mean, it's hard, I can imagine, to, you know, to get that ball coming off your fingertips like it would if it was a nice hot day.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, like you said, when it's cold or, you know, rainy or something like that outside, then, I mean, it gets kind of tough, you know, trying to break off a slider or something like that. So, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it at all. But that's the first time I've heard of it.
Yeah, the good news is it gets pretty humid in the Bronx in July and August. So that hopefully won't be an issue for you pretty soon. This spring was your first big league spring training. How was that?
It was awesome. You know, going in there and chilling with all the dudes and meeting everyone, and you know, I liked it just because I could learn. You know, from CC, you know, Big Mike, Tanaka, watching all those guys pitch, and you know, seeing how they go about their day, and you know, kind of look at their routines and, you know, put their game, instill a little bit of their game into me, what I can use. So, I mean, that was the best part. I enjoyed, and, you know, getting familiar with everyone. And so, you know, hopefully in the future when I get up there, then I'm not just going to be, you know, a new face to those guys.
Yeah, did you kind of feel like the new kid in school because you were traded last season, so this was the first spring training that you've had with the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, spring training, I walked in and only knew the guys that I played with in high A and double A, and that was it. So, I mean, getting to go through spring training was big. Meeting the rest of the front office and, you know, meeting the rest of my teammates and all the other guys in the organization, that was huge. And then, like I said, this being my first big league spring training, that was also big, getting up there and meeting those guys.
So do you guys kind of stick together? I mean, there were, what, four of you traded, Frazier, Heller, and Fire Rising. Was that mm-hmm. was that the immediate click? Like you guys stuck together as much as you could, and then started venturing out.
Well, I mean, he went to the league, and then Frazier went to AAA, and then JP was in Double A. So, you know, we were all spread out. So, but it was weird because when I did come over, I was chilling with Rashad Crawford and Glaber a lot. So, I mean, the other two dudes that got traded with the Cubs. So. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say we chilled because we were in the same boat a little bit. But, you know, after about a week, we just kind of all gelled in with the rest of the team.
Speaking of Gleyber, I want to ask you about him because he is the Yankees overall, their farm system has been getting a lot of notoriety lately, but he has been sort of the most talked about prospect. What do you see out of him as a player?
I mean, he's anything that you hear, that's Gleyber, you know. He's as good as advertised. I mean, he's probably the best shortstop that's ever played behind me. And for him to only be 20, I mean, you can tell he's very mature, you know, on and off the field. And just overall, good dude. You know, I love being around him. He's, me and him, we've gotten pretty close since we've came over. We knew each other in the past 2 years, just playing against each other. So, you know, coming over, that was good to talk about, you know, me striking him out and then him hitting home run off me, but nah. But it's been good. He's you know, he's a great player.
So you say he's only 20, but what are you, 21?
No, nah, I'm 22. I'm 20 also, but
oh, I'll you're 20 also. So yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
I'll be 21 in May, but you know, he'll be 20 this whole year. So I mean, that's pretty much like I was last year.
So are you also ready to get married? Because we just saw that he got married. Did you guys at least get to throw him a bachelor party?
Nah, see, I guess it wasn't like his wedding. I guess he was like an engagement ordeal type thing.
Breaking news.
I think they're
going
to get married for sure in like December or something like that is what he told me. I don't know for sure if that's it, but yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to going out to Venezuela and, you know, kicking it with the groom.
Definitely.
You mentioned CeCe earlier. We had Ben Heller on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and he kind of said that CeCe was sort of like the dad in the clubhouse. Did you get that sense in spring?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Him being kind of like the older vet, you know, he's been around the game so long. I mean, he's been through it all. So, I know for me, I got pretty close with him, you know, on and off the field, just learning from him and, you know, chilling with him off the field. So that was good. You know, especially we kind of have the same background, both being left-handed, both coming over from Cleveland. So that was automatic, you know, connection right there off the point. And then, you know, as far as on the field, he was open to any questions, you know, I have for him. But, you know, CeCe's cool. I like CeCe a lot. I'm glad I got to spend time with him in spring.
He's got a couple pounds on you, though.
Yeah, he does got a few pounds on me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and even though, like, you're totally different body types, you can still sort of talk about pitching and how you attack pitchers, I assume, attack batters, I assume?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, CeCe, he's pretty athletic, even, you know, being that he's, you know, a bigger type body. I mean, he's still pretty athletic, but... Yeah, it's just more so attacking hitters and things like that. So,
I think I've been following on you on Twitter, and it seems like you and James Caprellian are also been pretty tight.
Oh yeah, Cap's cool. That's my boy.
You guys seem to be maybe for you know the two highest prospect pitchers in the organization, and I'm assuming you're sick of being called a prospect at this point, but do the two of you sort of have a healthy competition going on who can maybe make it to the major leagues first?
I don't think it's about making it to the league first. I think it's more so just competition day by day. And you know, we've talked about that, you know, us being so close, you know, as friends, you know, obviously we're going to pull for each other, but then again, it also comes to that point where I'm not going to root against him, but when he's out there and if he shoves, I'm going to want to do that times two, you know, which is going to do nothing but make us better. And I feel like make the team better in the future if we have that type of mindset of, you know, everybody wants to be that number one guy. Everybody wants to be the man, wants to, you know, have the ball in their hand. So, you know, I feel like that's the mindset that I look at it, and I know he looks at it like that too. And, you know, I think it makes it better us being friends and tight because we kind of have that same understanding.
So you have a good relationship with Caprellian, but when you look around, I mean, it's extremely obvious. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. Heck, you even have, I know, a Rebuild the Empire t-shirt because I sent it to you. Do you do you guys look around and actually, this is starting to go into your conversations about, like, you know, we could make this next step. We're the future of the Yankees. We could do this together. Is this part of the conversation when you guys are playing and when you're on the bus or whatever?
I feel like at first it was, yeah. But now it's just to the point where we got to go out and play. Now we got to show it. You know, it was well advertised. You know, and still being well advertised. You know, through social media and things like that. So. But now it's game time, you know, season starts, and now we got to go out and show the people why they think that we are going to rebuild the empire with this young group that we got. And, you know, that's the way we look at it. We just got to go out there and do what we got to do on the field.
So I want to ask you about when you found out that you were traded from Cleveland to the Yankees last summer. Were you surprised, or were you kind of keeping an eye on the trade deadline knowing that your name could be thrown into some deals?
You know, I was surprised that it was to the Yankees, just because, you know, I was kind of keeping up a little bit, watching ESPN and on Twitter. You know, my phone was blowing up with, you know, all these rumors and whatnot. And I actually thought I was going to be in the Brewers trade with Jonathan Lucroy.
Oh, right.
Ended up not being in that deal. So I was like, all right, we good. Like, I'm going to go to sleep. I got to pitch tomorrow. Like, I ain't even going to worry about it. And then I woke up to a phone call saying I got traded. So, I mean, that was a surprise of who I was getting traded to. I kind of knew that it was a possibility. But then, you know, there's no feeling than when you actually get the call and it actually happens. You know, because, I mean, I had to, you know, tell all my boys for 3 years over at the Indians organization, you know, that I wasn't going to see them for a while. So, I mean, that kind of sucked at first. But then again, getting traded over to the Yankees, that was, you know, I think that's the best thing that's happened to me so far in my career.
Well, I know. I think I read somewhere that you were a Red Sox fan growing up. Is that true?
Yeah. I was actually a Red Sox fan. I remember watching them in the World Series. So it was just kind of loved watching them play. But it's kind of funny coming over to the Yankees because I didn't really like the Yankees too much growing up, which is funny. But you know, I'm all for them now. I mean, I kind of have to be.
well, how the hell did that happen? You're from Tennessee. How you become a Red Sox fan?
Yeah, like I said, just watching them in the World Series. You know, when they had Johnny Damon, Big Poppy, you know, all those guys. And you know, I remember just sitting up late at night watching it with my pops and my brother. And you know, after that, I just loved watching them play. I've been to a few Braves games just because that was the closest place to go. But, you know, there was no other feeling than watching the Red Sox play. And when I thought of baseball, that's what team I actually thought about, you know, the Red Sox. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And also I got a cousin. Well, it's actually I call him my uncle, but my cousin, he got drafted, Tony Sheffield, in, I think, 99 by the Red Sox. Never made it to the big leagues, but.
You got some ties there, though.
Yeah, so.
You're talking about your family. You guys would watch the games together. I know your brother is also a pitcher in the Dodgers organization. Were you guys just growing up just a big baseball family? Was baseball life for you guys year-round?
Actually, me and my brother also played basketball and football growing up. I never really fully liked baseball until probably like ninth, tenth grade, to be honest. I would always go out and, you know, play basketball, shoot hoops outside in my front yard and stuff like that. So I was always big on basketball, and then I knew basketball ran into baseball season, so I had to give that up. And then you know, I love football more than I love baseball also, but I'm, you know, obviously not that big of a guy, so
well, just one day, did you figure out, like, oh, I could throw 93 miles an hour. Maybe I should try and become a professional baseball.
Yeah, I think it was when I was starting to kind of get college letters. Then I was like, all right, maybe I should just take the smart route here. You know, I might be actually pretty good at this thing. So,
yeah, less injuries down the road, too.
Exactly.
So you and your brother were both pitchers. He's a right-handed pitcher. You're lefty. So you've got actually an advantage there. You ever talk about that with him, or is he jealous that you're a lefty?
You know, if you probably told him that, he'd probably laugh and say whatever, he's better or whatnot. Because you know, we had that. We were only 11 months apart, so we've been competitive since we was young. So you know, if anybody says I'm better than him at anything, he's definitely gonna deny it. Nah, it's been good just because I think that's where we get our competitive edge, growing up so close to each other and, you know, wanting to be better than the other one.
So who's the family back in Tennessee rooting for if it's Dodgers versus Yankees and both Sheffield boys on the mound?
You know, it's gonna be half and half. You know, my pops and moms might be wearing a Yankee hat with a Dodgers shirt. So, you know, there's definitely no favorites there. I know that for a fact.
So your brother went to Vanderbilt, and from what I read, you committed there also. Was there a big part of you that wanted to go to college, or how did you weigh the decision not to go and go straight into the pros?
It was a huge part. Because, like I said, Jordan, he got hurt his senior year, so we didn't really get to play with each other his last year. So, you know, there was definitely a lot of talk about us going to school together and going to college together. He was actually – I feel like I actually drove him to go to Vandy. He was committed to go to Tennessee. He wanted to go to Tennessee. I wanted to go to Vandy ever since I was a freshman. So, you know, he decommitted and then went there. And, you know, that was the plan for us to go to school there. And, you know, but I just had to go on my gut, go on my heart. And, you know, it was definitely a tough decision. But, you know, I felt like I made the right one in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to turn down being drafted in the first round.
Yeah, it's tough.
So what was it? What was draft night like?
Wow, nerve-wracking. I can tell you that. I couldn't stop moving. That whole day, I had to be doing something. But it was good. And you know, we didn't have like a big party until like the next night after we knew for sure where I was going. But you know, I had all my close friends and family with me. So you know, that was a special day. You know, having them with me and being a part of that with me.
You know, so how'd you find? Go ahead, Scott.
I'm just saying more people should take that route. There are so many times when they get, you know, the TV cameras are there, the dudes are like waiting to get drafted and then nothing happens or they drop. And then that footage lives on forever. The way you did it, that's, you got a sure thing party. You got a big celebration. That was smart.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't want to go into it with my hopes, you know, too high. And I had a good fallback plan, you know, going to school, going to Vandy, going there with my brother, you know, best school, best baseball school in the nation. So I was, you know, I was cool, just because I knew I had that to fall back on. But yeah, I didn't want to get my hopes too high, but I feel like we did it the right way. And you know, a couple years later, my brother did it the same way. So you know, that's pretty cool how that worked out.
So there was a rumor going around, and I'm not even sure how this started, but that you were related to Gary Sheffield. And was that just a product of people being stupid and they saw that you're both named Sheffield and that you play baseball as well?
Yeah. Well, that started like when I was younger. It started when I was like real young, but then it really, really, really started, like, got in the newspapers when I was a freshman and me and my brother came up to bat. He led off and I came after him. You know, we were super late. We didn't even know we was going to be on the lineup. So we get there, didn't even get to stretch, none of that throw, none of that. Coach puts us back in the lineup. He gets up, he hits a home run. I get up behind him, I hit a home run. And then after the game, or the next day in the newspaper, it was on the front page. Of some, I forgot who we were playing, but it was their home newspaper, and you know, it said that, you know, we went back to back, and Gary Sheffield was in attendance, and that he was our uncle, and I was just like, I do not know where they got this from, but after that, it kind of blew up. You know, I got baseball cards with, you know, he is the nephew of Gary Sheffield, and it's like, man, yeah. this is crazy.
Did you start doing the bat wiggle when you were at the plate?
Nah, because then that would make it even worse.
Yeah. So you and your brother, were you guys, I mean, other teams must have just hated you because you must have just dominated.
Yeah, we was pretty good. It was a good little duo.
Well, because I got some stats on you. I see some stats. You had two no-hitters and you struck out 17 in a game. And that's 17 with only 21 outs, because I'm assuming it was a 7-inning game.
Yeah.
What happened? You couldn't strike out the other four?
I guess I, you know, can't get them all. Can't get them all. it was fun. High school was definitely fun. We had a good team too. We were at one point ranked in the nation, my junior year. So you know, we had a good team coming from a small little school, public school from my little town. I mean, you know, that was big, and we're kind of known for our baseball. So. You know, the times that me and my brother's group was going through, we were pretty good. So, you know, that was fun.
So last year you visited Yankee Stadium or New York for the first time, and you went to a Yankee game. Did you kind of have the visions of walking out to that mound and throwing a game at the mound at the stadium? Was that something that was flying through your head?
Man, it was at first until I went up in my seat and my nose started bleeding. That's how high we was up in the stands. So
I mean, you should have seen really the old stadium.
Man, I could have literally changed the light bulbs in the stadium if they needed me to. But
the Yankees couldn't hook you up like with better seats.
It was like one of those last minute things on our off day that me and another teammate Matt Marsh, we just decided to go, you know, take a train up there. I'd never been in the city or been to New York other than Syracuse, New York. So, you know, it was just one of them last minute things. It was still cool to go watch a game. We actually ended up somehow managing to get in like the box or whatever behind the captain's club or something like that behind the home plate. So I don't know how we ended up doing that, but it was good though. But you know, definitely a lot of fun. You know, good experience.
You saw the two different worlds of Yankee fans. Then you saw the 400s, and then you saw the legend seats. So you got both sides of it.
Yeah, for sure. Now I can you know, make sure I let my parents know what kind of tickets to get.
Yeah, don't put them in the 400s.
Most people listening to this podcast are up in the 400s and out in the bleachers, so it's nice to connect with those people.
Yeah, hey, but you can see everything. That's a good thing. You ain't gonna miss nothing.
So you kind of mentioned earlier that you were watching the Red Sox in that 04 World Series. Who were some of the other pitchers maybe that you were watching in the mid-2000s that you wanted to model your game after?
The biggest one for me was when I was growing up was Price. I was a huge Price fan. You know, I watched him ever since he was at Vandy.
That may be why you wanted to go to Vandy?
No, that's not the reason. That's not the reason. But for sure, he was one of those guys that I like to watch. And anytime he was pitching and I had time to watch, I was definitely watching him. But other than that, I just kind of had my own style growing up. Like I said, I wasn't really a huge, like, into baseball. I was more into basketball and football. So, you know, I had fun playing baseball. That was the thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't really thinking about the future or going to. I didn't even think I was going to go to college or D1. I remember being a freshman in high school saying my brother was getting looked at by college, and I was kind of jealous. I'm like, man, I hope I get that opportunity. So it was just like one of those things that I did for fun with my friends. And then, you know, and then I actually started liking it and seeing that it could take me a long way. So, you know, I stuck with it. My dad, he's a pretty smart man, so he kind of made that decision for me. Not really made it for me, but talked me in the right direction.
Yeah, you'll thank him later.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so football, are you a Titans fan?
Yeah, unfortunately. Actually, yeah, last year we had a good year. We coming up.
Yeah.
We finally got us a quarterback. We got, a good backfield, and, you know, we're coming along. But it's been a struggle for the past decade or so.
Once you escaped Jeff Fisher, then you kind of were going in the right direction.
Yeah, see, they was just holding on to him, you know. He at one point was the man in Nashville, you know.
Yeah, when you were 2 years old.
Yeah, yeah, when we were good, but you know, they hung on to him as long as they could. But you know, I feel like we're going in the right direction now. So hopefully, I can get back and watch a few games. It gets a little tough going to the games sometimes. But, you know, just so busy and, you know, kind of taking time off, vacation and stuff like that. So
it could be a lot worse being a Titans fan. I mean, you could be a Jets fan and then have to deal with that every single year for your entire life. That is true.
I feel for my New York people on the podcast right now. I feel for y'all.
Well, remember, most Yankee fans are also Giants fans, not Jets fans, unlike Scott.
That's true.
Oh, that's true.
Someone put me in the wrong box when I was a kid. I don't know who did it or why they did it, but someone wanted me to suffer for my entire life.
You're a starting pitcher, but I've also been reading some things that maybe you could move to the bullpen. That was actually one of the fan questions that we've had. Has that ever gone through your mind, or you? In down the road that maybe the bullpen could be an option, or are you just focused on the rotation at this point?
You know what? Right now, I'm just focused on what I can control. You know, if it comes down to it, and it's whatever. You know, if they need me to do, you know, backflips for them up in the big leagues, I'll do it. You know, if that's gonna help them win. You know, if they want me to fetch water, I'll fetch water for them.
No, they got the bat boy to do that.
It's whatever, man. Honestly, once I get up there, it's whatever they need me to do. But as of right now, they got me in a rotation, so I'm gonna focus on that and continue to get better. You know, do I want to stay in a rotation? Of course.
Hell yeah.
Who wouldn't? You know, but I can control only a certain amount of things. So yeah. I just gotta go out there and focus on getting outs, and then whatever's best, whatever they think is best for the team, then I'll face that when it comes.
So there's a lot. So over the last couple of years, baseball, I feel like one big thing is that some people get upset when guys like Bautista or Harper show emotion. If somebody hits a home run off you and then bat flips, are you pissed, or are you just going to go after him the next time and try and strike him out?
I've been always the type of guy to be competitive. And so I'm definitely going to try and get him, strike him out the next time I face him. But, you know, I've never really been through that situation. And I'm one of those type of pitchers who, you know, I get very emotional when I'm out there on the mound. I'm, you know, super competitive, you know. I hate losing. I hate giving up hits. Hate walking, guys. You know, I want to go out there and, you know, get my strikeouts, get outs, and, you know, get through the game. But, I haven't been through that situation yet. So I don't really know how I will react, to be honest with you. But, you know, definitely I know if I face that next hitter, if I face that hitter again, then, you know, he's definitely not going to get a hit off me.
He's not going to have
then we might have some problems.
Yeah, he's not going to have a comfortable at bat next time.
No.
Well, if you get a big strikeout in a big situation, are you going to? You just said you're emotional. So if you're throwing fist pumps out there, then they have every right to get emotional as well.
Yeah, that's true. But they ain't got the ball in their hands. You know, everything. You know, I control everything out there on the mound. So. I feel like I can get as hype as I want, but, you know, it works both ways, I guess. You've seen it in the WBC, yep. Guys flipping bats, guys fist pumping. I like that, though. I like that type of baseball. It makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. I don't really understand why people get, like, fans and stuff get mad about guys flipping the bats and stuff. I mean, I feel like it's part of the game, but...
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people get bent out of shape for reasons that are unknown, but you know, I think a lot of the times as well, the Yankee fans are so used to just seeing guys so buttoned up. I mean, we all know about the haircut rules, we know about all the rules that go along with the mm-hmm. Yankees, man. But so I really do hope you keep that emotion and just, you know, show it all the time, because as a fan, I can tell you, especially a lot of the younger fans, I think they really, really appreciate it, and they love seeing the excitement in the game, because you're exactly right. People are trying to take it out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't know why. I like it. I like playing with a little flair, with a little swagger. So, I think that makes the game fun for me personally.
Yeah.
That's just how I like to play.
Did you like, how was the WBC to you? Marcus Stroman was a guy who gave a little shimmy off the mound. I mean, that was fun to watch. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like seeing that. I think that's cool. That's awesome. It just switches. It makes it different. It's not, you know, going out there and your typical, you know, throw your pitch, grab the ball, get back on the mound, throw your pitch, grab the ball, get back on the mound. You know, you got to. I feel like it makes the game enjoyable when, you know, guys are out there with a little bit of flair, you know, and showing that their passion, showing the emotion. I think that's why football is such a big watch sport. I mean, not only is it a lot of contact and a lot of excitement, but you know, those guys are out there, they show emotion when they score a touchdown dances. That's one of the best things I like seeing, you know, seeing what Odell Beckham is going to do when he scores a touchdown. I think that's, you know, that's dope. So just makes the game a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, and I know Scott does too. So Justice, thanks a lot for joining us. We killed about a half hour of your 5-hour bus trip. What are you going to do for the rest? I hear some guys in the background. What are you guys going to do for the rest of the time?
Probably just play some cards, honestly. Yeah, get on a little card game. So, going to do that for 4.5 more hours.
All right, man. Nice. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Definitely good luck this season. We're looking forward to watching you. And I know that Trenton Thunder team and the AAA team is stacked, so you guys are going to have a lot of fun. Hopefully we see you in Bronx
for sure,
soon.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, yo, to me, freedom is the feeling of an ocean breeze. East Coast, North Carolina, got a potent steeds. From the oak leaves out to the open sea. See it like oak leaves, then I let it go with ease. They say I'm gifted.
Now joining us on the podcast is Chance Adams, pitcher for Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Chance, first question I got to ask you. I was looking through your Instagram today. I saw you were wearing a Yankees hat back in 2012. So what's the story there? Were you a Yankees fan growing up?
I was a Diamondbacks fan, but I liked the Yankees. It was my first travel ball team, so it's probably why I was wearing it. I don't know if it has an M in it or not. My travel ball team was the McDowell Mountain Yankees.
Okay.
If it doesn't, then I probably just had the hat. I like watching them. They were the best growing up. So.
Yeah, I saw you. You grew up in Arizona, so that 2001 World Series. It's got to be tough being a Diamondbacks, but also a Yankees supporter back then.
Yeah, and no, I actually was able to go to Game 2 and watched Randy pitch, which was awesome. And yeah, it was definitely a cool experience.
Watching the Diamondbacks, was Randy Johnson one of your guys just growing up? I mean, did you watch? We've talked to a bunch of the guys when we asked them about watching baseball as kids or growing up. A lot of them were like, "Nah, I didn't really watch it. I just played it mostly." Are you one of those guys who was playing it and you got just sick of it and didn't want to watch it, or were you just immersed and would watch it as well?
No, I didn't watch the lick. I just my dad and my mom would take me to a game or here and there, and. And then that's probably the only baseball I watched as a kid was that World Series. I mean, and then if I was eating and there was a game on at a restaurant I was at. But other than that, no, I didn't really watch it. I didn't really have any idols growing up or anything like that. I mean, I liked Willie Mays when I was younger when I played in the field just because of the athleticism and stuff. But, like, I was a pitcher when I was younger, so I didn't really, like, have any favorite pitchers or anything.
Yeah, you're probably running around your backyard trying to make those fake over the shoulder catches like Willie Mays. Yeah, I think we all did that. So, all right, if you didn't watch any baseball, did you watch football? What other sports were you watching?
I didn't really watch. I was kind of out. I was outdoor. I was an outdoor kid a lot of, whether I was at my mom's house or my dad's. I was just outside, just doing something, throwing the ball against the wall, or I don't know. Shooting stuff. I don't know. I just like to be outside, riding my longboard. I did a lot of stuff when I was younger. Just jumped around, different hobbies.
Nice. That was pretty much what I did when I was a kid. If I was at my mom's house, I would do one thing. If I was at my dad's, I would go and we'd be in the woods. Whether it was in the winter, we'd make it a luge track, doing something outdoors constantly. So I feel you on that. I was an outdoor kid myself. Right on, man. So you grew up in Arizona. We're just trying to get to know you a little bit so the audience can know who Chance Adams is. I think everybody is expecting all the baseball questions. They want to know exactly, you know, what's happening, because I think a lot of people are gearing up for you to come into the Bronx at some point this season. But growing up, and you went to college in Dallas as well, right? That was a pretty drastic difference going to college.
Yeah, that was my last year.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my last year. I went to JUCO at Yavapai Community College.
Okay.
For 2 years, and then I went to Dallas Baptist for my junior year. And yeah, that's where I got drafted from. So, but yeah, no, it was definitely different going from Arizona to Dallas, but I mean the change was great. I mean, it was an amazing school. I'll always be grateful for that school. And
So, yeah, when you were in college, you were a relief pitcher, and then I saw the Yankees converted you to a starting pitcher in your first full season. So what was that transition like? Talk about the adjustments you had to go through that season, and were you surprised when they told you that?
No, but what happened was that Yavapai came in. I was like a relief/closer in my first year, And then my second year, I actually started. It was like every Friday game, and it was like our 7-inning one. So I would always throw that. And then after that, I went to Dallas Baptist, and that's where I was a reliever. And then I got drafted as a reliever, and they basically told me that they're going to use me as a starter, get me geared up for a starter. So that's why if you go back and look at my first little half season, whatever you call that, I pitched every fifth day. So like a starting rotation, but it was only 3 innings max just because they were trying to get me acclimated. So I kind of knew already right when I got drafted.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I don't think many guys get transitioned that early as far, you know, recognizing where they want you long term within the organization. So that's a pretty early set. They obviously saw that you had, you know, the abilities to be an effective starter. So what does that do for your confidence when you're making that transition?
They just saw that I had 4 pitches and they're like, you know, well, just try him. And worst thing that happens is he sucks at it. And we just throw him to reliever. So, I mean,
yeah, I feel like that's a fallback for a lot of, failed starters. And I mean, obviously some guys have tremendous success
doing that. So yeah.
Mariano Rivera was okay.
The guy has good, you know, 4 pitches, and I mean, why not try him? If he gets hurt or can't handle it, I mean, he only lose maybe like a year or two, and then you just throw him in the bullpen and he goes back to dominating. So
speaking of your 4-pitch mix, you had an awesome start today against Columbus, 6 innings, 12 strikeouts. At what point in the game, or does it come in warmups where you know you've got it and you're going to mow people down?
It's usually after the first inning. I mean, you'll know I usually go out with a certain confidence every time and try and do my best. And, you know, the strikeouts sometimes come and they don't. It's better when they do, though. It's, you know, it's nicer. But today's stuff felt good. The pen, my stuff was good. It was all right. And then I got in that first inning and I just kind of felt real locked in. And I just was clicking with Wilkin. And I don't know. I just felt good today, I guess.
You said you were clicking.
It was
with
hot, so I was like, finally, freaking hot. And
summer's coming.
So I love pitching when it's hot. I mean, I like sweating because I just feel my arm heating up, and it's just nicer. I mean, I'm not a cold weather guy. I mean, I can do it if I'm just relaxing, though, like with a fire around. But I mean, if it's baseball, no, I want it to be hot or, you know, beautiful, one of the two, but not cold.
I gotta ask you. You mentioned you were clicking with Wilkin Castillo, the catcher for you guys. How much does the catcher play into your approach on the mound, your game plan, day in and day out, going about things?
I mean, I've been good with most of my catchers. I mean, I threw to Eddie, and I've thrown to Kyle a lot. I'm real comfortable with Kyle. And Eddie, too. I've thrown to him quite a few times now. I mean, we do great together, too. I usually click with my catchers. I just kind of tell them beforehand what I like to do with 2 strikes and whatnot, and depending on the batter, and they know them better than I do usually. So, it's definitely an important role. I mean, if I'm out there just in a good rhythm and all of a sudden I just start shaking, step off, doing that every 2 pitches, I mean, we're not in a good rhythm. So, whenever me and the catcher are in a good rhythm, it's always going to be a good day.
If you read the scouting reports,
usually more often than not,
that's cool. If you're reading the scouting reports, I think the biggest one of the glaring pros of your game is your slider. Everybody says that your slider is professional ready. It's ready to go. Are you most confident in that slider, or, you know, throwing the scouting reports out the window? What do you feel the most confident in on a daily basis, or does it change throughout your outings?
It depends on the hitter.
Yeah.
Depends on righty or lefty. But I'm fine with any of my pitches, honestly. Change up, I have a little bit of resilience to throw, but or resistance to throw on it. But I'm getting there with that. That's the one pitch I really am just trying to focus on, and so I've thrown it so much in my last few starts, but except today I only threw it like 4 times. But I feel confident in most of them.
Is the changeup a newer pitch?
No, I just usually don't really throw it. I just didn't usually throw it. I would just fastball slider and mix in a curve here and there, and kind of just worked for me. And, but in the big league level, and even at this level, AAA, you get to those hitters where you really need a change up, whether it's a quick out or whether it's, you know, looks just like fastball, and then you just get that little ground out you need. So, I mean, just depends.
You moved up from AA Trenton to AAA this season. Maybe aside from like better quality buses or better quality food, what's the biggest difference between those two leagues?
Are you talking playing wise? Are you talking like amenity, like
whatever, whatever you want. What's the first thing you noticed when you first made it to AAA?
The first thing I noticed was the buses, because that was like one of the first things I got in. I was like, oh, these are nicer. And then other than that, I mean, there's a different energy, in my opinion, when you're up here, when you come from AA to trips. Maybe it's just because, you know, they're one step away rather than like, oh, I have another level to go. I don't know. Just the different energy up here. Guys are kind of more locked in and kind of, I don't know. They just got, I shouldn't say more locked in. They just, I don't know. It's just a different energy. You just got to be in that energy. I don't know how to explain it.
What's the atmosphere like in the when you're in AAA and in Trenton as well? What's the atmosphere like in there? Obviously, there have been championships won at both levels. So there's a lot of really touted, highly touted prospects that are expecting to make a difference in the majors at some point soon. What's the atmosphere like with all these guys there?
It's great. I mean, we all have a lot of fun, but we also work really hard, and it's just hard work and, you know, having fun too. I mean, the game's not, you know, fun without fun. So we just kind of joke around at times, but then when game time hits, we're serious and do our job and also have a little bit of fun while you play, or there's no point to do it. So, you know, just kind of like that. I'd say it's a good mix of both.
Yeah. Like you said, you got to have fun. Did you do anything to have fun after today's game, after you had that nice outing?
Nah, I mean, kind of. I mean, it was just, we went and saw a movie because we just had we actually got off at a decent hour today, so had time to do something for once. So we just kind of went out and saw a movie, and then we went out to eat, and then I just got back home, about to just hang out with the guys after this, or my roommates, just the guys that I live with.
What'd you see?
We saw Baywatch.
Yeah, I've heard it's not very good. What do you think?
I really liked it. I thought, I mean, of course, you're going to have all like your critics who want it. Like, I mean, what do they expect? It's supposed to be kind of like a funny, you know, comedy type movie, and that's exactly what it was. I mean, what are you looking like for Lord of the Rings out of it? Like, you're not going to get that. So, I mean,
no, I mean, I'm going
to look like for a movie like similar to like Neighbors or something. I mean, it's kind of like that. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Neighbors,
I'm not
with the
movie critic. Yeah, Neighbors with the Rock. Yeah. No, it's definitely a good movie. We were going to see Pirates of the Caribbean, but the majority vote ruled for Baywatch, so we went and saw Baywatch.
I like that you guys go with the majority vote, and then everyone sticks together.
Yeah.
So do you pay attention to what's going on in the major leagues? Are you guys, you know, constantly watching the games and seeing what these guys are doing? Yeah.
Yeah, we watch the games. Yeah, I usually watch Jordan's start just because, you know, I know him pretty well, so I just make sure he's doing good, and he's been doing good, so it's just fun to watch him pitch, you know.
Licking your chops to get up there sooner rather than later?
Yeah, whenever. I mean, they'll call me up when they feel the time's ready. I'm just, you know, just going to go out and do my job. Nothing I can do about it, so.
That's probably a good approach.
For the guys that do.
Yeah,
it's whatever.
It's probably a good approach. Well, Chance, we'll let you get back to enjoying your evening, your night off, and thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, guys. You guys have a nice night.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys.